So the first week in our Born Identity series, we looked at you're forgiven. The foundation, cornerstone of our belief that helps us identify who we are. And today we're going to look at something that you've heard about many times from me. If you read through the Bible in the New Testament, you will have come across this many, many times. It's the concept of the idea that you were born again, that you are a new creation. Now, the reason why this is so important in forming our identity and recognizing who we are is because the implications of truly understanding this and embracing this will change your life forever and will change the lives of all of those around you. And the reason for that is because when you become a Christian, when you give your life to Jesus Christ and you finally surrender, you say, I give up, I need your forgiveness, forgive me, Jesus, and he forgives you, now come into my life, and he comes into your life. The Bible says, as we see today, that God takes you and you are born again, you are made as a new creation. Now, the reason why that's so important, the reason why that's so critical is because many times in your life, I would argue probably every single day, you're going to feel this little inkling inside of you, or this little tapping on your shoulder, or these little ideas that get dropped in your head that say, you're no different. You haven't changed. You still make mistakes. You remember when? Do you really think God could do something like that? And Satan and his demonic forces and the world, which is so good at it, will try and trip you up and try and push you down the path to go back to your old self before you became this new creation, before you became born again. And the temptations are all around us to drag us back into the muck where we came from. As we see today, as we read today, you're a new creation. You're born again. And every time you have those thoughts, every time you feel like going back to the old self, every time there's these little thoughts inside your head that you're not good enough, that you didn't make the cut, that God never really, you can look and you can say to yourself, I am a new creation. I am born again. And it changes the way you deal with temptation. It changes your outlook at life. And it begins to form the very identity of who you are. Because I'm not who I used to be. I'm not that. You fill in the blank. Whatever you were before you became a Christian, before you gave your life to Jesus Christ, whatever sins, whatever muck, whatever you wrestle with, you are no longer that. You are forgiven. And the result of that forgiveness is that you are a new creation and you're born again. You get a new start. And that is incredible and awesome. You want to follow along this morning? We're going to read from John chapter 3. And for many of us, John chapter 3 is probably one of the most famous books and chapters in the whole New Testament that we know very, very well, because John 3:16 is found in here, and we say that many, many times. But the whole concepts that we're going to read from today are ones that we're very familiar with. But I want to go through it, because there's some great principles and implications here to what we're talking about this morning. So John chapter 3, verses 1 and following, I'm going to read. If you want to follow along, I'm reading in the NIV, or it's on the screens as well too. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He had some power. Actually, he had a lot of power. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. Did you catch what I just read? He comes to Jesus at night. Why would anybody go to Jesus at nighttime? This guy's got power and prestige. He could have come during the day. Not really sure why, but I would suspect that he was a little bit afraid that his colleagues, his professionals, would see him come to Jesus, and he didn't want that. But something was still drawing him to Jesus at this point that he wanted to have this conversation with Jesus. So he comes to Jesus at night. Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher, for it has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. So he recognized something's incredible about Jesus. Verse 3. Jesus replied, "Verily, truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Now remember, we've heard the term born again in the church as believers, for those of you that have been in the church for a while. You know this. But for Nicodemus, this is like, huh? What? How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born? By, whew, he really missed it, didn't he? Like right over your head. Jesus answered, "Verily, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and of spirit, of the spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." There's a bit of an aha moment here. Oh, okay, I get it. So not physically born again, but born of the Spirit. But Nicodemus is like, well, how can this be? So still over his head. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept their testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who has come from heaven, the Son of Man," referring to himself. "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life in him." Huh? I don't know if you've ever read, but back in the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 21, I believe is where it is, there's this thing that goes on in the wilderness. God's people are wandering around the desert. They're whining and complaining, grumbling as usual. And so there's this plague of snakes that comes and starts biting them. And so what God does is he says, okay, he has Moses or the craftsman make this snake, an image of a snake on a staff, and they put the staff up. And whenever somebody gets bitten by a snake, in order to live, you have to run to the staff and look at the staff, and then you're healed. That's really weird because God's kind of against graven images in this concept. But then again, he had the tabernacle and the temple as well too. And so there's a bunch of different interpretations to try to understand, well, what was this and why is this story and why did God do that? And so one of the interpretations for the New Testament anyways was that this was a foreshadowing of our healing of when we would look to Jesus Christ when he's lifted up on the cross for our healing and for forgiveness. And the problem was with Israel is that exactly God set this up to help his people and to get them to refocus in on him. But of course, what happens is that they actually end up worshiping the thing, which is exactly what you weren't supposed to do. So eventually God had to have it destroyed. But this is the principle that comes out of this. That in the same way that as the Israelites looked at this snake that was put up on this pool and then they were healed, is the same way that when we look at Jesus on the cross that we find healing. That's what John's saying here. Jesus is saying. And then verse 16, which we all know, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." The condemnation that we talked about the first week, the forgiveness. "Whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of the light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God." Nicodemus comes to Jesus and says, "What's the deal?" And Jesus says, "You need to be born again. You need to become a new creation," as we'll see in other texts this morning. What does it mean to be born again? How does it form our identity and who we are? Well, here's just a couple thoughts that come right out of this passage. And the first one is the most basic, yet so fundamental because it changes who we are. And it's that when we are born again, when we become this new creation, we're filled with God's Holy Spirit. We are born of the Spirit. In the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, if you read through it, if you want to later on this week, the account is that as the disciples are waiting, Jesus has come, he died on the cross, he rose again, and then his disciples see him, and then he leaves. Bummer, right? Like, you just saw Jesus rise from the dead. He's alive. The best friend, your teacher, your prophet. And like, all right, he's back again. He's alive. He's risen. And then Jesus says, okay, see you later. I'll push you up to the clouds. Like, what? What are you leaving for again? And the reason Jesus leaves is because he knows he's not coming back immediately. And he leaves and he says, go away to Jerusalem and the comfort of the Holy Spirit's going to come. They didn't know what that is. So they go hanging out in Jerusalem, probably really confused, some sad, some not knowing what to do, but they're just doing what they're told to do because they know that's what they're supposed to do. And the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And the church has never been the same. And so when you become this Christian, when you're born again, when you this new creation, it's not like just nothing changes. But God's Spirit that didn't live in you before now lives inside of you. Now, why is that so significant? Why is that so important? Why does that make a difference? Well, just let me give you a couple of what the Bible says, of the descriptions of what the Holy Spirit, or who the Holy Spirit is, and what he does in your life and in my life. In John chapter 14, verses 16 and following, a little bit later on, it says this, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. So this is part of being born again and part of this new creation. When you become a Christian, you know him. But you know him, for he lives with you and he will be with you. He is your helper, your counselor. You find yourself in a situation where you don't know what to do? Well, the old self would try and make things up or give up in frustration or go down a dark path or just act out or just ignore the problem altogether or whatever. We would have all our different coping mechanisms and we would try and figure things out. Maybe if you were even smart, you'd read some books and try and solve some problems or whatever it was. But you didn't have any help, not divine help. But when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you actually have a connection with God that's your divine helper. They can help you in any and every situation if you're willing to ask and listen. The Holy Spirit is our helper. He's our counselor. In John chapter 14, verse 25, he's our mentor. He's our teacher. All this I have spoken to you while I was with you, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send you in my name, will teach you all these things. I'm not too smart. Never have been. But I know sometimes the reason why I remember things or why I can learn certain things, particularly when it comes to faith and theology and the way that I see the world around us, is because God's Holy Spirit lives inside of me. And not only does he help me, but he teaches me and he mentors me. He's my mentor. He's my teacher. He's my helper. In Acts chapter 1, verses 7 to 8, he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You actually have power. Not the type of power, but the power that means that you can lay your hands on somebody and you can pray for them and God can do some incredible things. It means that when you're at home, you're wherever you pray and wherever you read God's word, when you're talking to God, that conversation, those prayers can change the very fabric of not only your life and your family's life, but the world around you. In Ephesians, it tells us the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives and dwells inside of you. How's that for shaping your identity? You've got a helper, you've got a mentor, you've got a teacher, you've got this power that taps into very God, very nature through his Holy Spirit. It tells us that the Holy Spirit gives us wisdom. Not only does he teach us and help us and give us power, but he gives us wisdom. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon in the spirit of wisdom and understanding. You ever having a conversation with somebody, those of you that are Christians and believers, and somebody asks you one of those aha questions, I don't really know the answer. And I don't even know what path to direct the conversation. And all of a sudden you get these little inklings in your head or your heart. The wisdom that you never knew you had. The Holy Spirit not only gives us wisdom, but he gives us an anointing that separates us from the world. In 1 John chapter 2:20, so 1 John, a little bit later on in the New Testament, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, the Holy Spirit, so that you can know the truth. You're anointed, you're set aside, you're different. The Holy Spirit gives us peace. In Romans chapter 8, verse 6, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Holy Spirit is life and peace. In Acts chapter 9, verse 31, it tells us that the Holy Spirit is an encourager. Then the church throughout Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, tells us that the Holy Spirit lives inside the believer. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to 27, it tells us that the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf, stands in the gap for us before God. The Holy Spirit, all of this stuff and more, lives inside of you. Your identity is shaped and formed and made and created through his Holy Spirit. I mean, talk about being loved. Talk about being encouraged. Talk about a God who loves us so much that he didn't just leave us alone. Gordon Brownville's Symbols of the Holy Spirit tells about the great Norwegian explorer Ronald Emstensson. Hopefully I pronounced his name right. The first to discover the magnetic meridian of the North Pole and to discover the South Pole as well. On one of his trips, Emstensson took a homing pigeon pigeon with him. When he had finally reached the top of the world, he opened the bird's cage and set it free. You imagine that? Imagine the delight of Emstensson's wife back in Norway when she looked up from the doorway of her home and saw the pigeon circling around the sky above. No doubt she exclaimed, "He's alive. My husband is still alive." So it is when Jesus ascended into heaven. He was gone, but his disciples clung to his promises because he sent them his Holy Spirit. What joy then dwells inside of us, or should dwell inside of us, because that same Holy Spirit lives and dwells inside of us and is a foreshadowing of our connection with Jesus Christ and the day when he shall return. Jesus loved you so much. Not only did he forgive you, but when you become born again in a new creation, he takes his Holy Spirit and he fills you and gives you access to all of these gifts and these privileges that shape and mold and make us. Our identity is found in Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. Then another direct result of this being born again in this new creation is not only that we are filled with his Holy Spirit, but Jesus Christ is lifted up in our lives. Just as the snake was lifted up for people to look at to get healed, and it's not because of us, but we take Jesus and we lift him up in our lives and we point others to Jesus Christ. When you're going through a situation in a dark time and somebody comes and asks you, how are you managing? How are you getting through that? Because I'm strong. Because I know that Jesus has a reason for this suffering in my life. When you find yourself in a situation or a relationship where somebody says, well, you should just go punch that guy out because he really deserves it. How's it coming from, right? Or you should really let him have it on your social media platform, whatever, because they deserve it because they did X, Y, and Z. And so you choose the higher road because the Holy Spirit lives and dwells inside of you, and that's not your old, that might have been your old nature to let him have it or to write a thing. But no, you don't do that. You actually take the higher road and you encourage and you love and you listen to God's Spirit. And somebody says, well, why didn't you just let that person have it? Like, they deserved it. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. Well, let me tell you why. Because I'll tell you, 5 years ago, I probably would have let that person have it. I would have walked into their house and just in the face, or I would have filed a report, or I would have done something to get back, to get even, to get the upper hand. But I'm not like that anymore. I'm a new creation who's forgiven, and because I was forgiven, I forgive others. And so I'm going to lift Jesus Christ up into my life, and I'm going to point others to him in the way that I act and speak, in the way that I handle the world around me. Jesus gets lifted up in our lives. In our old self, we always lifted up who? Ourselves. Because that's all we had. I mean, we would maybe seek advice or counsel or learn or whatever it is, but it was always about us. But when you're born again, when you're a new creation, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you know it's not about you anymore. It's about pointing people to Jesus and saying, hey, this is the guy to follow. This is the guy that's going to change you. This is the guy that's going to forgive you. This is the God that's going to take you and turn your life upside down. This is the God that wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit too, so that you can have wisdom and power and anointing and wisdom and counsel. And so you can have the gifts of the Holy Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness. I can't give it to you, but Jesus can. Your new creation, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and you lift Jesus Christ up into your life, in your life, and point others to him. And lastly, you're a lamp. Remember that song? I'm going to hide my thing under the bush. Oh, no, oh, no, oh, no, whatever it was when you were kids. This is a light of mine. We're not the light. I was really you know, because it says you're the light of the world. We're the lamp, not the light. We're the lamp. And so, yes, we don't hide it under a bushel and we don't try, but we aren't the source of the good. We're not the source of the light. That's Jesus. That's his Holy Spirit living and dwelling inside of us. But what we're called to do, what we're responsible to do, is to take the cover off the lamp and to let the lamp shine and to let Jesus shine through our lives, to be a direct representation of God's light in this world, because this world, as it says here, is so dark, and there's so many people that love the darkness, that John says here, as he writes the book of John, Jesus says, hey, you know what? You need to be light. You need to shine in this dark world. And when your identity is wrapped up in Jesus Christ, when your identity is wrapped up in the idea that his Holy Spirit lives and dwells inside of you, you become this lamp that just lightens up this dark world. Because Jesus will shine through you and through your life. It kind of ties into the idea of lifting Jesus up for all those around to see. Rabbi Zachariah was an apologist for Christian faith. And if you've ever seen his stuff, he's got lots of stuff on YouTube. Very, very wise man, Christian believer and follower of Jesus Christ. But he said this: I've also been in the Middle East and marveled at the commitment of young people who have risked their lives to attend a Bible study. I've talked to CEOs of large companies in Islamic nations who testify to seeing Jesus in visions and dreams and wonder what it all means. The British author A.N. Wilson, who only a few years ago was known for his scathing attacks on Christianity, celebrated Easter in 2009 because he came to faith at a church with a group of other church members, proclaiming that the story of Jesus of the Gospels is the only story that makes sense out of all of life and its challenges. Wilson said this: my own return to faith has surprised none more than myself. My belief has come about in large measure because of the lives and examples of people I have known. Not the famous, not the saints, but friends and relationships who have lived, faced death, and in the light of the resurrection story, or in the quiet acceptance that they have a future after they die. You see, your life has an impact because Jesus shines through you when you let him. When you're in the highs of life and everything is going great, who do you point people to as you celebrate and rejoice and be filled with joy because God's doing great things in your life? When you're in the valley and things are the opposite and you're struggling and you've got relationship issues or health issues or financial issues and everything seems bleak and dark, who do you let shine through your life? And it's in those moments, it's in those proclamations, it's in those times where you point other people to Jesus Christ. You say, hey, this is not my strength. This is not even who I was. This is who I am because Jesus Christ lives and dwells inside of me through his Holy Spirit. This is who I am because I'm born again and because I'm a new creation. And so I want to point you to the one who gave me this great gift, in whom my identity is found. I am forgiven, and I am a new creation. So none of this, I would imagine, for many of us is new information. So what do you do with this? Well, here's some questions to ask yourself this week as you go out of this place or as you're listening online. And the first one is the most basic. And this is to not assume that everybody is a new creation. But Jesus said right there in this passage, "For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son." Why? Because we are dead inside, because we have sinned and messed up and we are separated from God. And so as we saw a couple of weeks ago, in order to start this relationship, in order to be a new creation, in order to be born again, the first step is confessing our sins and saying, "Jesus, I confess that I have sinned. I've done things wrong. That's what separates me from God and you. And so forgive me and come into my life." And the moment we do that, the moment you pray that, the moment you mean it, you become born again. You become a new creation. And so maybe the application to this message this morning and all this knowledge and that you can be a new creation, you can be born again, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit, you can be a lamp in this world, you can shine Jesus and point people to him. Maybe your application is, you know what? I know I need to start that relationship. I know I need that forgiveness. And you can start. Maybe you are a new creation, but that old new creation feels pretty old. Many, many years ago, many lives ago, that you became the new creation. And so it's easy over time for our hearts to kind of crust up and get hard. It's easy over time with the ups and downs of life to just disconnect from God's Holy Spirit. It's easy to try and not necessarily even do it on purpose, but to plug our ears and to ignore the little proddings that God's Holy Spirit gives in our life. And it's easy to then begin to switch back to wrapping up our identity in ourselves and what we have and what we do and where we're going and what we want. And so the question for you or me this morning is really, is my life wrapped up in the Holy Spirit? Am I listening to his help and his counsel and his wisdom? Am I allowing his power to move through my life? Am I patient? Am I kind? Am I loving? Am I peaceful? All of the things that come through being filled with God's Holy Spirit. And maybe you just need to kind of recommit that. Say, "Jesus, move in me again. Remind me that I am a new creation." Maybe everything is good between you and God and you're listening and things are happening in your life and God's Holy Spirit is really moving in your heart and your life, but there's an area in your life that you need some connection. You need some counsel or some wisdom because you have some decisions that you need to make. Or maybe you're feeling really down because of something that's going on in life and you just need some encouragement this morning. Or maybe you're facing a major obstacle in life and you need his power to get you through. Or maybe it's his compassion, or his patience, or his love. Whatever it is that you need from Jesus Christ, from his Holy Spirit, don't be afraid to ask. I know in my own life it's so easy just to try to do it all on my own and to revert back to my strengths and what I want. To try to do it on my own, and when I fall face down, finally then turn to God and say, "Okay, now can you help me? What is it that you need from God's Spirit this morning?" And the reason for all of this is because as we allow God to work through us, as we connect with His Holy Spirit, less of us and more of Him means the light shines brighter through your lamp and my lamp. And ultimately, that's not only what we need, but that's what the world needs to see. Is His Holy Spirit moving and shining through your life and my life as forgiven and as new creations. Let's pray. If you're listening this morning or you're online and you've never invited Jesus Christ into your life, and you're not filled with His Holy Spirit, you're not forgiven, and you're not a new creation, I want to give you the space this morning, or wherever you're at, to do some business with God. And just say, "Forgive me, Jesus. Come into my life. I want to be a new creation." Maybe it's been a while since you've felt or sensed God's presence, His Holy Spirit moving in your heart. Those words of wisdom, the encouragement, the mentorship, the teaching, the patience, everything and even more that we've mentioned this morning. It's been a long time. Maybe there's something specific that you need this morning. You need wisdom. You need guidance. You need encouragement. You need compassion. Whatever it is that you need, just ask Jesus this morning. "Jesus, I need you too. Holy Spirit, I need you." Jesus, we thank you that you did not leave us alone. We thank you that when you left and told us you're coming back, that you then sent your Holy Spirit to live and dwell inside of us, to fill us, so that the very character and nature of who we are has been transformed into a new creation, not because of anything that we've done, but because of your forgiveness and your Holy Spirit that lives within us. For this we give you thanks. And we give you praise. In your name, Jesus. Amen.